Welcome to the Revital Health Podcast, where we explore the exciting intersection of modern science, ancestral wisdom, and personalized health optimization. I'm your host, Jodi DeVal, naturopath, integrative medicine expert, and founder of Revital Health Clinic in Perth, Western Australia. Each episode, we'll dive deep into cutting-edge therapies, groundbreaking research, and practical strategies to help you live your best life, having plenty of fun along the way. Whether you're keen to supercharge your energy, balance your hormones, or discover the latest biohacking trends, you've come to the right place. If you love what you hear, don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow so you never miss a moment with world-leading experts and game-changing insights. It's time to unlock your full health potential. Let's go!
Revital Health is a proud member of the Health Optimization Network. Health Optimization Medicine and Practice is a 501c3 non-profit on a mission to educate doctors and practitioners on how to optimize for health rather than treating disease. If you're interested in becoming a practitioner or donating, head over to homehope.org. Revital Health Clinic is the first and only of its kind, exclusive health optimization clinic in Australia with state-of-the-art health technology protocols and personalized care, with compounded medicines made specifically for your testing individualities. To find out more, head to revitalhealth.com.au.
We acknowledge that the Revital Health Podcast is recorded on the unceded lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people of the Noongar Nation, Borloo. We recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture and pay our respects to Noongar elders past and present. Welcome back. I am your host, Jodi DeVal, and today I'm joined by one of our beautiful practitioners here at Revital Health, Marley Allen. Marley is a degree qualified naturopath and registered nurse with experience across acute care, cardiology, intensive care and chronic disease management. In this episode, we're diving into her journey from the hospital system into naturopathic medicine and exploring what led her to a more preventative, root cause approach to health. We talk about burnout in healthcare, the emotional weight that nurses and practitioners often carry, the bridge between biomedical and naturopathic care, and the importance of supporting gut health, hormones, stress, and the nervous system in a way that is both practical and personalized. This is a beautiful conversation about purpose, intuition, healing, and what it truly means to restore health. At the end, there is an extra story that Marley shares, so don't turn it off before you get to that. And it is a beautiful tear-jerking story that really embodies what practitioners do have and to carry home with them at the end of every day. So let's get into it. Welcome, Marley Allen, to the Revital Health Podcast. First time on. This is so exciting.
Thank you so much. Very exciting.
Yeah. So you have joined the team recently and we all love you so much.
Oh, thank you. And I'm so excited to be here.
You are on the opposite side of Australia, but I feel that it's a better excuse for us all to come together in different states and we get to travel and see different things too. So I think that's an even better excuse.
Yes. And it's so beautiful. I want to go to WA. I haven't been there yet. So
yeah, no, it is. It's got its own magic. We've got a cyclone coming soon, so maybe just hold off a few more weeks.
Yeah, I'm after that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so today we are here to chat about you, about your history, about what led you to studying a master's in naturopathic medicine, and you are a nurse as well, which is just a beautiful combination. And so I love to always hear from our guests about the story that landed you where you are now. So, why naturopathy and where did that sort of passion start?
I would say I have a family history in the Indigenous. My dad is, and then my mum also has the Greek side as well, and we've never been close to culture as such, because like my dad's family was from missions and it got separated, but I've always felt a draw to the land and the trees. And going through nursing, I was definitely passionate then, but just felt like something was missing. And as soon as I kind of considered natural medicine and being able to use things from the land to help heal people, that was the start of kind of the passion that was inside of me for so long.
And it's amazing, isn't it, how we can have these realizations, obviously, and we want to be able to care and to look after people, and then you can go down so many different avenues, and sometimes you know they align for a certain period of time, and then they can come away from our values and where we sort of originally had seen ourselves thriving in and supporting people. So you know, obviously Restore Naturopathy is your business name. What does that mean to you?
So the Restore Naturopathy, it was a whole kind of story about how I got into naturopathy. And it started out, I guess, from I've been a nurse for about 5 years, now eight, but at the 5 year mark. And probably 2 years before that, I was feeling kind of a draw to do something else. Like I was losing the spark to help people, which I still thoroughly enjoy. It's just in a different type of way. And I guess I went into intensive care unit. It was my 5 year goal in nursing. It was intense, like the name says. Just anxious all the time going into work. You know, you're dealing with someone's life, so you have to be onto it. You have to have your infusions ready, because as soon as they run out, you need to put up the next infusion. Otherwise, they will die. So it is a massive, I guess, emotional pull at the same time. And I guess I was burnt out, drained from the years of nursing. Each day, you know, I would go and onto Burleigh Hill. If you're familiar with the Gold Coast, it's beautiful.
I love Burleigh Hill.
It's so gorgeous. So yeah, every day I would go there for a walk with my dog if I didn't have to work in intensive care, just as a way to kind of regulate the nervous system. And then from there, this man actually showed up with his dog, and I was sitting down with my dog, and he just kind of introduced himself, and his dog was called Spirit. From then, he asked me a question about, do I want to change in careers, out of nowhere? And it's kind of like either you believe in like God or a higher power, but it was like someone was speaking through him to me, because I had considered it. I just didn't know what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go. And I think that feeling of just being so stuck and I guess a bit helpless, like in your life where you feel like I'm not going anywhere, I don't know what to do. And all of my options were kind of like either go to uni again or drop out and become a barista. I was at that point where I just wanted to do something different. So yeah, his name was Paul, actually. He's a lovely man. And he asked me, he's like, what do you want to do? Like, you're a nurse. Can you layer on top of that? Can you find something that is still helping people, but in a different way? And we spoke about iridology, but never about naturopathy, but more, I guess, aligned with that natural health side of things, which I guess I hadn't truly thought about, even though I always was so interested in like the land, and there's got to be other ways to help people rather than giving them sometimes medications that cause side effects and things like that. So I went home from there. On the way home, I actually saw a business advertised in Burleigh that was called Restore, and it was, I believe, a skin clinic or something. And I was like, wow, that's such a great name for a business. So I took that away with me. And then I let that settle for about a week. And I was like, oh, I'm not sure. Should I go and invest my time in doing something that more aligns with me? Or, you know, should I stay and try and progress in nursing? And it wasn't till, I guess, that week later, I had sat with it. I hadn't told anyone. So I was keeping it all inside. And I rang my mum and I was like, I can't do it anymore. I can't work in nursing. Like, it's not for me. If I stay in nursing for any more years, like, I'm really going to struggle and I'm going to hate what I do. And for me, that's a huge thing. Like, I need to be driven for something I'm passionate about and really enjoy.
Yeah.
And I was so scared, of course, of her, trying to think of the word.
That reaction.
Yeah, her reaction and her opinion. Mm. Like, I felt like I was a failure, like I was giving up, because I had spent 3 years at uni. I'd also mm-hmm. done another course to further progress myself in nursing. I was in intensive care, which was my dream. But yeah. There was just something in it that I was like, it's just not for me. And she was amazing, as all mums are. And she's like, look, I just want to make sure you're happy. Just follow your dreams. We'll work it out when you get home, or have a look and research into things that you might want to do and you find you're passionate about, which was very encouraging, because I think sometimes we have this idea in our head that we don't want to let people down, especially think people we hold close. So it was a big kind of turning point, and I guess made us closer as well, to be open about the emotional side. And I guess mums always want the best for us. So that was great to hear.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, went home and we came across naturopathy. And it was a 4-year degree. And I was like, I don't know if I can do 4 years. I've just spent 3 years in nursing, another year doing a graduate certificate. So the 4 years seemed quite daunting. So I sat with that probably for a month. And then the Southern Cross offered a Master's of Naturopathic Medicine. And I know they had offered it in the past, and then it kind of had a gap to where they didn't offer it anymore. So it was still about a 3-year kind of new master's degree. But looking into it, going to the open day, it was definitely something that I really wanted to do. And found some passion come back and drive to want to help people, to want to study again. And I was so excited that it was also only 2 years.
yeah, that definitely helps.
Yeah.
I think studying also, and I know many people who just continue studying for the rest of their life. And, you know, to some extent, we are all studying for the rest of our life. But when you're in a set course, there's this passion and excitement of hope and new opportunity. And I think it is just something that is quite addictive, actually, because we can feel, you know, that we are getting really stagnant in our current area of life, and that ability to interact with different people, learn from different teachers, see information that isn't enlivening us and just, you know, growing us. You know, I think we all seek to grow, but we are also really scared, and outside of our comfort zone is hard to jump into sometimes.
Absolutely. And it's definitely the scared, I guess, feeling that can be such a good driver for all of us, because, you know, fear can either hold you back or it can be something that's going to push you further. So it's how you use that fear.
Absolutely. And doubt, I think, from people. And like you said, mums and parents are always going to want the best and the happiness versus success. You know, I guess some would have different opinions, but really at the end of the day, if your child or your loved ones are happy, healthy, then that's all you could wish for. So it really doesn't matter the in-between. You know, it's something that you just want the best for everyone. And to be happy in a job, because that's where you're going to be spending a majority of your life. And that's what blows me away, is that people are too scared to and too fearful, because it is a huge
changed to then jump into things that they may feel is necessary, but they just can't quite take that leap. And, you know, maybe it is the lack of support or inner work or whatever it is, but we spend so long doing work that it should be something that makes us grow and strengthens us. You know, I see it in practitioners and students all the time. You know, I think the greatest expanse or leap that we have is when we first go into practice, and then throughout it's just learning consistently. And, you know, we feel like we are fakes the whole way along, because it's just you're constantly chasing to try and know as much as you can, and you never feel like you know enough.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So the, you know, obviously ICU commented, and it is such an intense environment. And I think this speaks for a lot of carers in general carers roles, whether it's, you know, practitioners in our field, you know, naturopathy, nurses, doctors, there is a huge responsibility, you know. And I was talking to my husband actually about this the other day. And, you know, those who are not in these sorts of industries don't maybe quite understand the level of pressure. Like you were explaining, like you have life or death pressure. You know, we don't have that so much in a clinic, but you're still responsible for someone's health in a way, you know, that what you offer them and provide them and show up every day to offer in terms of your expertise. It's it's a huge responsibility, and we all take it so seriously. And so it's hard not to have that impact our well-being, because we therefore need to have so much that we're working on the outside of our lives, you know, that buffering, as I call it, you know, the good habits, the good lifestyle, the good sunshine, the good exercise. Like, we've got to put more effort into all that to be able to sustain a really solid foundation to support from. And so that's where it slips, I feel, a lot of the time. But you know, with the broader, you know, coming back to nursing before we jump into naturopathy, you know, the nursing profession, it, you know, I know many nurses and have the pleasure of working with many nurses as both colleagues and clients, but they all say the same, is that it is really struggling right now. And you see it, you know, there is a huge fatigue and a lack of vitality, I feel, in the industry in general. So, you know, what's your perceptions on this? You obviously, you've seen lots of different sides of this now.
For sure. I think nursing is kind of going away from the patient aspect and, I guess, healing more towards a lot of policies, documentation, less time with patients. And to be honest, most nurses will go in with the idea they want to help people. They want to, you know, have a conversation with people. They want to have more time with your patients. But currently there's such a shift where it's more towards like policies, and people that are higher up seem to be making a lot of different policies and, I guess, taking a lot of time away from the bedside when they also haven't been the ones that have been in nurses' shoes, whether that's, you know, on the ward or in ICU or in other critical care environments. It makes it really hard to want to stay in nursing, and you also don't feel valued as a nurse. You're just a number. And to come to that realization when, you know, you've been so passionate to help people, I'm doing a great thing, is really hard. And I've just seen such a big shift in the number of people wanting to leave or that have left nursing. And I think that's quite sad, because nurses, you know, they run, I guess, the wards. They run, they're the ones that notify the doctors when a patient's really sick and things like that. So I think they definitely deserve some more recognition and respect from people. I mean, you know, communities and things are always very grateful and like, oh, nurses and doctors do a great job, but I don't think that gets shown to the nurses. Like, it's lovely hearing it, but you know, to deal with someone's life like in intensive care, and to take it back, I guess, financially as well. It's so taxing on your body doing shift work, having that emotional kind of pull. It really makes it hard, I guess, to stay in that job. And you have great colleagues like other nurses, and they're the ones that keep you in the job. They're so great. You know, they have your back, but they're also going through it as well. And it's important for nurses to find ways to actually not get so burnt out, and whether that's implementing lifestyle kind of things where, you know, you go home, you have a shower straight away to wash away all of kind of the energy and the people's sickness and stories and what's been happening, just to flush it down the drain. And then, you know, you're kind of clean and able to reset your nervous system.
It's so, like, you put your all in, and I hear this from teachers too. It's a very similar picture with teachers. You know, you put your all in, you put yourself on the line, you literally, you know, destroy your own health for the job and for the people that you're looking after, which you love. But it's so hard, I think, what we don't realize. Like, I have an addiction to medical shows on TV now, but it's just the purpose of making me realize what we have in our daily lives and make us appreciative of that. Because at any moment, and this is, I think, being shown, this is exhausting if you're constantly in the ICU and you're seeing trauma and suffering, and you know, it's very taxing emotionally, and you have to have ways, like you're saying, to deal with that. Whereas, you know, and then there's just not enough, like you say, financial support. There's not enough, you know, resources to actually be there for looking after the people who are looking after us when we are sick, and same with our children, not actually teaching our children. Like, they're the most key parameters of our lives. You know, the points of intersection that are huge for making us who we are as people and as a society in general. But, you know, to turn that now, obviously, then you know, that's a very different, you know, focus with naturopathy, which is a beautiful thing to have as a combination, I think. So you've got more of a focus on, okay, so how can I increase the health of someone to then have them not need to get to an ICU moment if it's not obviously an accident out of their control, but from a health or a disease point of view, you know, what then can you do in a positive way to then impact them? You know, it's such a beautiful thing. So, you know, from coming from nursing, this is always a personal fascination of mine, actually. So obviously the training is very different in nursing. So what initially did you think when you went into your course, your master's, like, what were your initial observations, thoughts, feelings, you know, like what the difference in how you've been taught? Was it positive? Was it bad? So what were some of those things that you were thinking?
I think a lot of outside opinions when I first kind of voiced that I was going into the naturopathy course. A lot about, you know, just hippies or just a bit woo-woo. I was like, oh, I don't know. But as soon as we kind of had the first few courses, tutorials, it was so evidence-based, and it made me so frustrated that there's the opinions out there. And I know obviously people will come to different opinions in their life because of where they've been, but it's crazy to see how much evidence there is with natural medicine that a lot of people don't know about. And also the, you know, the history and the documentation, like, of the kind of Greek mythologists back in the day, and they've all said about herbs, like mugwort is clearly documented to help uterine contractions and things like that. So it's so hard to turn away from all of that, especially given having a bit of the indigenous side, and they really storytelling is where they learn and mm-hmm. where the culture comes out and gets passed down. And I see that through natural medicine as well as the evidence base. Like, you get a mixture of both. And I think that's really important and missing in the biomedical side as well, is, you know, we've got histories of using natural medicine. So I think, going back to your question, my first thoughts were, have I done the wrong thing?
Yeah. I would have thought of it would have been just like, oh no, do I have to grow dreads now?
Yeah. And so many people also thought that, they're like, oh, how are you going to make a business out of that? How are you going to make a life out of it? Mm. And I think sometimes it's just trusting the process. You know what I mean? Like, if you're passionate and driven, you are going to be successful. If you're going to want to put in that work, there's no way you can't not be. So that was a big driver as well. I was like, you know what, I've committed, let's see how we go. It's a 2-year course, how hard can it be? And it was hard. It was so hard.
I hear this a lot.
Yeah, so many tears and just constant. It didn't feel very naturopathic at the time because of the time constraints and how much is involved in natural medicine. So that was,
And it's jammed so tight into that 2 years, which is a master's, you know, that's what it's meant to be, is like a really intense time of learning. But it is a tricky thing to learn and integrate, because, you know, this industry, and it always has fascinated me, and obviously is why I am just, you know, just love what I do with every inch of my being. You know, I, from my perspective, I saw it change my life as a child and my animals. So for me, there was no doubt, you know, this is why I'm so fascinated from those coming from a biomedical point of view into a traditional medical training to then what you actually envision and see from a naturopathic point. There was no convincing me. I already knew that this is sort of like, you know, what's going to work, because I've seen it work. Yeah. But when you start to learn about it, like you said, the history of medicine actually is natural medicine. Like, we as a medical system, it is so new. 100 years versus 5,000 years, like, are you kidding me? And then, you know, now I think finally there are so many doctors and specialists and nurses, practitioners, understanding the fact that there is more to health than just the isolated organs and how we can, you know, see things in a minute level. It's all integrated. And it just makes me so happy that I'm seeing doctors talk about, you know, ones like Olivia Lesler talk about psychoneuroimmunology. And she's like, forget the medicine. Actually, let's just talk about the nervous system regulation and do some bloody breathing. Like, what? Like, it's just incredible. And like you say, evidence-based, like, if you haven't seen the research articles on herbal medicine or even, you know, nutrients, it is everywhere. And doctors are now, you know, at a lack if they don't understand what turmeric or glutamine does. So it's just, for me, it's so exciting. We're still on the cusp of explosion in this industry. And, you know, US and Canada, you know, they're already seeing this as doctorates, you know, and Australia has much more availability. I think we're actually lucky to be here in New Zealand as well, with the availability of our herbs and our medicines and our compounding. So we do have differences, and I probably would still say that I prefer to be here. But it is a little bit harder to come to a bridge, you know, a sort of common ground with medical system, because we're doubted so much.
Yeah. I know, I see that a lot, because I still work as a registered nurse, not in the intensive care anymore, it's in the cardiac ward. But there definitely is doubts with natural medicine. But I have heard some doctors and patients, they'll be like, is there any natural alternatives? You know, they'll speak to the doctor and they're like, actually, you can see a naturopath about that. And I love hearing that, because I really think we can bridge a lot of gaps, or we could work collaborative together, where we can really help to heal people and work on that preventative side, because the healthcare system, people are getting older, it's all so full, and there's not much room for any more growth or reliance on that system. So we need to work other ways. And that's where I see, you know, naturopaths coming in and helping with that preventative medicine side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, don't get me wrong, I think, you know, although I didn't say that, but I think medicine is absolutely incredible. Like some of the advances that we have made, even just thinking about, you know, cardiovascular health and some of the, you know, cholesterol inhibitors, and how we can get people out of cardiac failure, and it's just blows me away how clever we are as humans, and how we are continually pushing ourselves and one another to just get better and better and better. But there has to be a point where we are not ignorant to other things anymore. And I think that's where it comes down to, which is what you're saying, you know, just knowing that there is different avenues and different lanes that we all can be in to help the greater good of the progression. But I think it's a tricky thing, you know, it gets misunderstood in this way. And so, you know, for you, like, how do you best explain to your colleagues if you're challenged? It's like, oh, Marley, you know, why did you go and study, like, you know, hippie medicine? what sort of, like, how do you explain that? What's your best rebuttal?
I actually, most of my colleagues are so for it. So I didn't have to explain to them, and they're always asking, like, when can I book in with you? Like, I really want to sort out these things. But for other people, and I think nurses see that side, because, you know, where they're helping people, and they also see, I guess, some things can only go so far, and there's a lot of prevention work that can be done. So I think nurses are great in that field. But yeah, what I would reply to them, I suppose, is just look at the evidence that is there, how people have actually responded so well to herbal medicine and replenishing, you know, nutrients, and working out whether their detoxification pathways are either like underworking or just not working efficiently. I think it's really comes down to all we can do as naturopaths. So, you know, functional testing, we can always just go off, I guess, symptoms for clients as well. And they most of the time come back and they're like, wow, I actually feel so good. And you've just worked on their nervous system, or just done a few little tweaks in their lifestyle, and they're like, wow, I didn't know how great it was to see the sun first thing in the morning for my sleep.
Yeah. Little guidance for people can go just like a huge way. And what I feel is, like, the simplest things, obviously, we're the supporters of that, and to get people into that different way of thinking. But yeah, what I feel as well is, in industries where you're unsure of, and we can be very judgmental through fear, you know, so it's a everyday occurrence for me to have a doctor comment and slander what I do, or what we do, you know, as an industry. But it's all coming from, I think, fear and not knowing. So it's like ignorance, you know. It's like, you know, that this is a part of the world. Like I know that your medicine is a part of the world, and I go out of my way to learn what you're doing to know if it's safe for my client. Should be the other way around. But I think, you know, in coming full circle, is that I understand why there's no time for that, you know, for nurses, for in the medical system that we currently have, that's overrun and overpressured. Where is the time to look at that? You know, so I completely understand all of this, but there's got to be better ways of educating and sharing information and trusting those. And that's where relationships get built, you know, especially in our industry. Is the biggest way to support our clients, our patients, is actually building really beautiful networks with all different health professionals, and to be able to get that trust interwoven, so you've got a really big scope of care and support as a team.
Absolutely. And I love that the nursing background is there as well, because I really do see, you know, the benefits or the biomedical side of it and how naturopathy could bridge some gaps between them.
Mm. And a great understanding for pharmaceutical as well, because it's just always going to be there, right? We're always going to have our knowledge, and your knowledge is just incredible around that because of your training. You've had so much of it.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I'm very jealous of, you know, to not have that all committed to memory. I have to then review.
I feel like you've done so well with your naturopathy and your career.
Oh, no, thank you. So, you know, for future and also now, what do you love working with, and what do you see yourself working with in terms of people, health concerns? What are you most passionate about? And also maybe what do you want to learn more about? You know, so what do you feel in terms of the future and the current clinic environment for Marley?
I am very excited about the future. I feel like it's a, you know, you should feel that way about your career or your job, is actually being excited to have the next client and see kind of what they've come in with. But I definitely feel connected to hormones, working with them, because it's such a massive driver for everyone, like from cortisol to your thyroid to the menopause to your teenage years. I think it's so important to look at our hormones, and a lot of it is also affected by, you know, our nervous system and stress, and there's just so much stress going on in the world right now that I think people, like, I just would love to support their nervous system and their hormones and their gut, just to make sure, you know, you can, they can live with the stress of daily life. Like, it's not going to be a struggle. So mainly what I am passionate about is just making people feel their best and, you know, restoring their health and their well-being, because no one deserves to feel rubbish every day. And I know people do live with that, like with chronic pain or with constant gut issues, or, you know, they have a menstrual period that's hemorrhagic and it affects their quality of life. Like, I love to support people to feel their best and to restore their health.
It's hard to sort of put into words, but I feel a lot of people just don't even know what it feels to feel good. And this is what I get so excited about. And I sort of, you know, get maybe overexcited sometimes when I'm talking to clients. I'm like, can you believe it? Like, you are going to feel fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're looking at me like, this woman's crazy. But just because we've seen it so often, you know, you see these small changes, and a couple of weeks later, a month later, they come back in, they're like, I'm feeling really good. I'm like, wow, we're at this step. You know, there are many more steps to go. You know, get ready. This is good.
And I think that's, like, it's come, I guess, from burning myself out in nursing, under eating. I was just wondering why all these things were happening, like constant mouth ulcers. I was just always run down and always sick, and I had multiple gut issues, until I made the step into naturopathy and I saw a naturopath who did functional gut testing with me. It wasn't until then I was like, wow, like, it's all so connected. And just having that there to be like, if I don't do something, then in 10, 15 years, I might actually end up with an autoimmune disease or chronic illness. And it's just from changing those few little things, like making sure you get enough sleep, controlling your stress levels, either with, you know, the support of herbs or supplements, and lifestyle changes, it makes such a world of difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a colleague who is the head of ER in LA, and he is obviously a doctor there, and he leads up the whole department. And he did a presentation for us at our Home Hope Symposium last year in Colorado. Mm-hmm. And his presentation was on, you know, so he obviously sees the, you know, ER presentation, and then he did it for a few cases where he stepped back 10 years before what could have been the moment or the time that actually turned into that turning point of progression of that particular ER visit. And it was just mind blowing. Like, it gives me shivers now that we have so much that we can change, but we don't realize and we don't understand the impact of those small things. Like you're saying, you know, your lighting wouldn't have been right, you're not eating right, you're not digesting right, you're not looking after your body. We don't understand how important those base foundations are to 10 years, 20 years down the track for cancer, cardiovascular, heart attacks, depression, insomnia, you know, all these presentations could have been supported. You know, obviously accidents we can't, understandably, but all of the health concerns, we step back and this is what naturopathy is. This is what preventative medicine is. And this takes away the pressures from those facilities that are already overrun. You know, they don't need more business. You know, they need to have less business so they can look after and care for people in a more quality way. With less pressure and actually healthy workers and doctors and nurses. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Take the time to fill everyone's cup.
Absolutely. So yeah, such impactful work. So, you know, Marley, what would you, I guess, say to someone who is where you were, exhausted, scared, you know, fearful of change, but knowing that you don't have any other direction that you want to be in at that moment? And, you know, sort of like 3 years ago for you, what would you tell them? What would your advice be?
I'd definitely say follow what your intuition and your gut's telling you. So if you're unhappy, don't think like another 5 years in the career that's where you're unhappy is going to make you any more happy. That was shocking.
That's all right. Break there, restart.
Thank you. But I would say I don't stay in a career for another 5 years when you're already unhappy. Talk to people, research, find out what you enjoy, make a list, just be like, okay, well, I enjoy helping people. And there's multiple ways where you can help people, and just work out a list of what you would you truly want to do and what you can see yourself doing, and then take the small step. So whether it's a university degree, whether it's going to get a trade, whether it's starting your own business from scratch, it's all possible. And even though it seems so daunting, you just have to make that first step. And I would encourage everyone to, you know, follow your dream, follow your passion. Because like you said, we're going to be in our careers for such a long time. I think the estimated time is about 75 years is retirement now. I'm not actually sure, but, you know, we're going to have to stay in there for a long time. So you're going to have to enjoy what you do. Otherwise, it affects everything, you know, affects your home life. You come home, you're unhappy. Everything seems overwhelming. Everything seems negative. So I would definitely say if you're unhappy now, find what your passion is and what drives you in life and see what else you can do. And like the man Paul said to me at Burley, and I did not think he was a real person after that day. I was like, oh my God.
Have you seen him again?
Yes, I saw him I haven't seen him for a while. He kind of pops up whenever I need a bit of advice. It's crazy.
Wow. You're an angel on earth.
Absolutely. And his dog was named Spirit, which I still to this day, it's such a coincidence. Like Paul said, you know, life's about layering. So you don't just kind of get into one career and that's it. You can build on it, you can move in different directions, and it's like an onion, like you keep building those layers and you become the most knowledgeable person you can be in what you want to do and what drives you. And I think that's such great advice.
Absolutely. It's a door after door will open. Once you've chosen that this is what you want to do, and I see this for so many of my clients, because I'll have people with these predicaments in my office always, and I find myself to be a counsellor mostly in these moments.
Yeah.
But you know, and I have seen, I can think to maybe 10 clients that have changed their life completely, quit their job, shifted into an industry that they love, and then so happy for it. The ripple was so wide of discomfort and unhappiness, and their lives just completely shifted. They were shit scared, you know, so scared to take it, but they just needed some support, like Paul, and someone to tell them, you know, or, you know, a practitioner or a clinic, like, you know, I was telling them, like, just make it, because this is not good. Like, you have to get out of this. It's not an option for you anymore. And to be having that insight is just invaluable. And if you follow your heart and follow the flow and your intuition, then who knows who you will meet and where it will go. And that's the most exciting part of hope. And that's for the future. Like, I don't know who I'm going to meet that there's going to be an opportunity, or who I'm going to get to hang out with, or who's going to join my team and then have incredible conversations. And then, you know, like, just the richness of life. Like, we should wake up every day excited to be like, oh, what's going to happen today? Who are we going to meet and have a chat with?
Yeah, and you never know who you can either inspire or motivate to follow, you know, their dreams after hearing a story. Like, it was, I guess, Paul definitely motivated me to be like, okay, let's find out what else I can layer on top of nursing, or what's going to help drive me. But I think even listening to podcasts as well, I'm a massive podcast listener. And they helped me so much to be like, okay, naturopathy seems amazing, like natural medicine. Let's give it a go. Like, I think this is really what I want to do. So I think podcasts is a massive avenue to find your way and find different things that interest you too.
Yeah, it's exposure, right? We may hear something that really sparks something, and we wouldn't have heard it otherwise if we didn't listen to that podcast, and then that leads you down a complete new rabbit hole.
Yeah, yep. And it's led me to Revital Health, which I am so excited about.
Oh, that's awesome. It's the ripple. It just makes me so happy when we can impact in so many different ways and different lives, and continue to do that. Just amazing. All right, so Marley, you will be back on the show, no doubt, but where can people find you, ask you questions, contact and reach out, and we'll put that all in the show notes.
Awesome. People can find me. I have a website up, Restore Naturopathy. I'm also listed under Revital Health. Team members, contacts, practitioners. I also have an Instagram account, Restore Naturopath, and I have just made a TikTok. And
we'll go you.
Takes a lot of time doing the marketing side of things.
Yeah, I've not ventured into TikTok.
Only have just now. So if anyone would love to follow me, please do. But yeah, I offer 10-minute discovery calls and all consults under Revital. And then I also have my website of Restore Naturopathy.
Amazing. Well, thank you. We'll put it all there. And yeah, if anyone also wants to ask questions for future podcasts, I think that's also a really nice way of getting an interaction and getting your questions answered. Write them on the comments.
And my Instagram's always open. If you just want a message, if you're a nurse as well or someone that's looking into naturopathy, I am very open to anything, and we'll always reply.
Incredible. Yeah, you might be regretting that when everyone floods you. We'll get to answer all of our queries.
So true. I'll hand it over to you.
Well, thank you so much for your time today, sweetie, and your insight and discussion. And until next time, we will see you then.
All right. Thank you so much, Jodie.
My pleasure.
Now Marley shares a very emotional story that she was unsure she wanted to share during the podcast, but you get a little extra treat, so get the tissue box out, and I hope you enjoy this story, which brings me to tears, and the meaningful impact of our work, and also what is left over from seeing clients and patients, and especially in the hospitals and ICU.
So when I was working in intensive care, and this was probably the turning point for me, is I had a lady come in who was hit by a drunk driver, and she fell only, I believe, like 40 kilometers. She fell onto the back of her head and was unconscious from there. So she had come in ventilated. They do a period where they spend, I think, a 48-hour life trial. And that's to see if they turn down the medications that are keeping her comfortable, whether she'll wake up. And she never woke up. So they took her for a scan, and she had a massive deep brain bleed that they cannot fix. So they brought her back to the room, and we had to have a family meeting. And she was only the same age as my mum. So there were a daughter and a son that were my age sitting in the room with a doctor who had to explain, your mum is brain dead. We cannot wake her up. And we have to turn her machines off because there's no sign of life. So we walked back from that conversation. They had a few hours to kind of make the decision of when they wanted to turn the life support off. And that was when, you know, like I, as a nurse, that's your job to turn off the life support. So went and turned her life support off, and to hear the screams and the wails of them was so horrific. And that's something that I was like, I don't get paid enough for this. This is awful. And I absolutely respect all the nurses in ICU, all the doctors, because it is hard to to not take that as, you know, thinking about your own mum, and it could happen any day. So I think those experiences shape how I think about life now, because it's so precious. People can be whisked away so easily from you. So I think it's a good reminder to always, you know, tell your loved ones you love them. No matter how angry, or if you've just had a fight with them, always say you love them, give them a hug before they leave. Because you just never know when their last time on this earth will be. And going back to how it was a turning point, I just think that I can't take that on as a person. And I'd rather be in the healing environment where I help try to prevent things. And that was unpreventable. But just knowing that that is what you deal with day in and day out in intensive care and critical care, it's something where there's people that are born to do that and there's people that are not. And I just am not that person. Too close to home, and just a point where I said to myself, all right, can you deal with that if that comes again? And I said, no. It took me a while, and it wasn't until my naturopath class I had with a beautiful oncology naturopath. I think it's Janet. I don't know if you know her, but
she
just had this most beautiful healing personality, and I had no idea I was still holding on to that moment, and I just cried for no reason. And she's like, you just haven't dealt with like that emotional side. And she's like, take yourself home and let yourself just like sit with that emotion, light a candle, cry for as long as you need, and kind of disconnect yourself, not disconnect, but process that emotion. And then, you know, you'll feel a lot lighter. And she said, these moments will stick with you. Even she said, as an oncology naturopath, she's like, there's times when I've had to step away and take myself home. She does a ritual where she has the shower, she washes everything off, she lights a candle, she kind of says everything in that moment, lets it out. And once, you know, she's felt like everything's out, she blows out the candle, and that's the emotion left. You've felt it, you've gone through it. But we're not taught this in nursing, and I think that's why I was still carrying it, and it still makes me a little bit emotional. But I also went home and dealt with it after 2.5 years of holding that. So I think there's a massive thing to say, like people's lives can be so impactful.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's the support that's around you. Like you say, you're not given that. You're not even given, I don't think you would be given enough debriefs because it's happening so often, so much in the ICU. But also, as you know, it's something that, you know, we also hear a lot of terrible stories in what we do, mm-hmm. and to have colleagues that understand and to talk. And this is why I've continued to have case studies and meetings and groups of naturopaths and students together constantly, because it can be so lonely, and yet these things can be traumatic and can then be the factor of stopping us doing what we love because of the fact that they build up. We don't get to clear it and get to voice it, and that is so important. Like you say, it's a very special human that can do that, and I think people are born to do it, but you have to become a little bit numb if you're seeing those things in ICU all the time, because naturally, and I think this is what makes really amazing preventative healers, in that we can be so soft and so intuitive and be able to, you know, bear that part of ourselves, because you have to be open in that way to be able to be open to getting the message in from the clients in front of us. And it's really only safe spaces like naturopathy, when we're not seeing huge traumas in front of our eyes all the time, is that we can actually be safe to open that part of ourselves as healers. You know, or guiders, I guess, you know, I guess, yeah, healer could be the right word, but it's overused in different ways. Like, gives it a bad meaning sometimes. The softness is required in our job, whereas you can't have that softness in ICU, otherwise it would destroy you.
Yeah, and I think it's back to all practitioners, whether you're a naturopath, a nurse, a doctor, ambulance worker. I think it's a good reminder that you actually need to process those emotions, or they will build up and they'll come out at the most random of times. Like, it came out during an oncology class and I had no idea I was holding on to that. So I think it's important to maybe spread awareness, or whether naturopaths can help people to work out ways to deal with the emotions and to sit with them, because if we don't process them, they definitely take effect, like you're saying.
Yeah, they deep root somewhere for sure, and health concerns can ensue. Thank you for sharing that, that beautiful story. And I think it's just such a important thing for us all to remember, is that quality of life. And it's hard because we get caught in the daily runnings of just Groundhog Day for a lot of us, and to stop and smell the roses as such, or look at the trees and be grateful for what we have, is really such a beautiful power that we all can do, to be grateful for what we've got.
And be present.
Be present. Yeah, it's the hardest thing. And so much is trying to draw us away from being present. You know, don't get me started on the technology and children. That's another podcast for another day. But yeah, it's just so much is designed to actually pull us away from these present moments and connection within ourselves and those around us.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Marley.
That's all right. Thank you.
We hope you enjoy this episode. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Revital Health, as well as our website, revitalhealth.com.au, for upcoming podcasts, workshops, and speaking events. Find out about specials happening in the clinic and all the show notes and links mentioned in the podcast. Please remember that this information discussed here is general information and is not intended to diagnose or treat individuals. Please speak to your healthcare professional before embarking on any new treatments, lifestyle changes, medicines, or supplementation to assess your suitability. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you again soon.